Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, episode 51. My name is Yuri Bilast and I am your podcast host. And today I'm really excited to be joined by Janet. Hi Janet, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Doing great. I always say, you know, making this podcast really, you know, makes me happy, yeah, connecting with people from everywhere. So let me first introduce you, Janet, to our listeners. So guys, Janet Casey is the president and founder of Marketing Doctor. She has been the three-time recipient of the Inc. 5000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Also, Ad-Age Best Place to Work in the USA in 2020. Adweek 100 Fastest Growing Agencies in the World 2020. And also Adweek 35 Trailblazers USA 2021 was also something that you have, you know, achieved.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. That's amazing, Janet.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking at your LinkedIn profile and what I'm directly seeing as that Marketing Doctor, that's something that is already something that you're doing since a lot of time. Is it right that you founded it in 2003?
Yes. Yes, that's very true. I worked in broadcast television before that for ABC and NBC affiliate stations here in the United States on the East Coast. And, you know, kind of dovetailing on what you were just saying, you were talking about how you love doing your podcast and today's a wonderful day. We're both happy to be here. And when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. And I truly feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that my girlfriend says too, are you working? I said, no, I'm not feeling, you know, because a lot of guests on my show are from the US in different time zones. So often it's in the evening that I do my podcast recording. But for me, it's not like, you know, working. I am networking with you. I get to know you. I get to know my guests on the podcast and
yes,
actually building relationships. So
yes. And, you know, when I go home at night and my kids go to bed and I'm back online accomplishing the things that I didn't accomplish during the day because of everything that came up during the day, I love it. And I don't feel like I'm working either. So that's definitely sort of a benefit that you and I have that I wish everyone had. And you know, one thing we can announce now that I don't think we could announce when we booked your show is that we did make the Inc. 5000 list again in 2022. So we are a four-time winner of the fastest growing company in the United States. And we're really proud of that. That is not because of Janet Casey. That's because of my team of 33 in the next room out here.
Wow. And you're doing what you're doing since 2003, but I guess that the landscape has a bit changed. So can you tell to the listeners what did you do when you started the company and what are you doing today?
Yeah. So, you know, if you can imagine this, and I know that, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. I'm a very proud Gen Xer, like raised by the bootstraps. We are a get it done sort of generation. But in talking to the Gen Zs and the millennials, when I started my company, there was no Facebook. You know, if there was, I wasn't on it and none of my friends are on it. And I do remember that there was something called MySpace just starting to poke their head around the corner, but there was no Instagram, Facebook. Google search was something that, you know, there were still other search platforms and it was a different world. And media, we are a media company. So we are the math of marketing. Our company only focuses on ROI. Other people create the ads. Other people create the brand. Other people do all the studies and research about who a company wants to be. And then we start collaborating with them because there's so many platforms, it's overwhelming and you can waste it. I mean, I don't care who you are, even if you're Coca-Cola, McDonald's, the biggest budgets on the planet, you can waste your whole budget very quickly, especially today, because the media landscape is very fragmented. So if you think about it, all of us who watch video, when we relax, you and I were talking about binge watching things. How many platforms are there today to binge watch something on?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I mean, it's overwhelming. And, you know, when I started my company in 2003, that was really a small handful. You had cable and you had broadcast. YouTube wasn't on it wasn't on the horizon. So when you think about your own personal choices on where you consume media, if you're in a room with, you know, your kids, your neighbors, your friends, your parents, your aunts and uncles, and you ask everybody where they consume their media. What did you look at? What video did you watch? What audio did you listen to? Where did you travel to? And what did you see out the window? What stores did you go to? everybody's going to have a different list of what they consumed. And that's a job of our company, is to find the most cost-effective place to put your media dollars. And right, it used to be TV, radio, print, outdoor. That was kind of, you know, there were small exceptions, but those were the options. And today there are hundreds of thousands of options, and it's overwhelming. And we always say, like, I don't know how a CMO can do their job today because it's changing that quickly. It's like whiplash.
Yeah. You know, I'm also a fractional CMO, so I'm helping companies, and I'm getting approached all the time, you know, by opportunities to create awareness for the brand. And it's, I don't know how they get my email address or how they know about me. Of course, I'm rather active on LinkedIn, but, you know, they find me, and it's like, you know, sometimes it's interesting, but the way that they approach me is a bit too aggressive. And so I have mixed feelings about, should I work with this company if this is the way that they approach their clients?
I agree. I think we've all had moments like that.
So, but how do clients find you? I know you have all these amazing awards, so I guess there is word of mouth.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing, I just read an article recently on what do you do with the awards that you win? Because we put them on our website, we post them on social, and then we tend to move on with life, and we don't really capitalize on what we should get out of winning an award. And for everybody on that Inc. 5000 list, there's 5,000 companies on there. We're one of them. And the story is not in winning the award. The story is in how you grew and got there, and how you scaled, and how you kept your staff. Because in professional services that we all work in, you and I, and probably everyone listening, you only have your people, and you only have their skill sets. That's all you have in your company. You don't have a storeroom full of products. You don't have the things other companies struggle with, buying inventory and startup costs and all that kind of thing. You don't even need office space in our business anymore. So it's really in our people. And there's a big difference between being a marketer like I was in 2003 and before, and being a CMO, that's CEO. That's a different job. Growing a business is a much different skill set than being really good at marketing and getting some clients to believe in you, which is something that I had to do at the beginning. And I was doing all the work myself. And now being a CEO and running a team of 33 and having them all agree that we're a best place to work in an anonymous survey that had like my heart beating out of my chest when Adweek and Ad Age sent out those surveys of, is this a good place to work? Which went to thousands of companies. And you had to finish above like 98% outstanding responses for every one of your employees, the happiest one and the least happiest one. Had to say that. So that's an entirely different skill set. And I swear to you that there is a lot of luck involved with that. We tend to hire people that are optimistic and see the glass is half full or a quarter full on our worst days. They're like, well, at least the glass is a quarter full.
And those are the company kind of people before that grow I started in marketing. And I also hired, when someone came, arrived for the first conversation, and I just saw the way that they were talking, their energy, I already knew if this would be a good fit for the company. Yes or no, it's all about this energy. Also, people can change. That's also a thing, something that I've learned, or can have things in their private lives or stuff like that. But, you have these awards, different awards also by growing this company. It's not so easy to, starting a company, it's one thing, scaling it is another thing. And then you have these happy customers to find you. That's another thing. So is that, and the awards, they came in the last year. How did you do this before you had these awards? How did they find you?
Okay, that's a great question. So I come from a sales background, and as a CEO and as a woman in business, I feel very blessed that I started this company with a sales mindset and a sales skill set. I have a little quote behind my desk. It's from Forbes. And it says, of the millions of women that open businesses every year, this is for the US. I don't know if this is around the world. Only 2% hit $1 million in sales. And for men, it's much higher. And I feel like this is something that made a difference for me, is that when I started the business, I did have some sales skills. So what I did was I took sort of what I learned working for the TV stations that I work for, the ABC and NBC affiliates that I worked for, and the contacts that I had for my client base there. And I worked those phones and I worked my email and I put out there, here's what I bring to the table. Here's what I do that's unique. And do you know anybody who needs this in their marketing? And that was my full-time job for the first weeks, you know, days, weeks, months. And then as we got those first few clients, one thing I learned very quickly is that saying to a client when they are on their happiest day with you, when they say to you, you've made all the difference in my business, I'm so glad we work with you, is to then say to them, is there anyone else you know that you think would benefit from working with us? Because a referral like that, you can't buy. There's no ad in the world. There's no platform in the world that will make another CMO consider your company than their colleague who is a CMO somewhere else saying, this company is amazing and has improved. For us, we've improved cost efficiencies 50 to 400% on average in the first small period of time. So it's, you got to put your ego aside and you got to put yourself out there. And that's hard for a lot of people, but I kind of grew up doing that in broadcast TV sales. So I started
that
way.
You need to get out of your comfort zone, of course, if you want to get there or do things that others don't do, and be aware of these moments, you know, that you have an opportunity. Like you say, someone is really happy. I know it too, but I'm not always executing it. But what I'm doing, if someone is really, you know, let's say happy about something I did for them, I ask them, what you now sent through email or what you sent me, could you just put it on video or could we do something with it that I can use, you know, so that others know about. So like having testimonials in that way. But yeah, to grow the business, what you're suggesting is also a good way, because I'm helping companies and I tell them they have difficulties to get these testimonials or to get these, you know, new business. But referrals, it's also easier to get them as a client because there is a trust factor with this person in between. And then, you know, you said, okay, you have these scale skills, so you're growing. But what I had with my company, at a certain moment, you get clients, but then you also need, you know, the people. You need to be able to serve those clients, and then you also need to find them. That was also a challenge, I guess. How did you solve that to grow and to be, you know, at the end nominated as one of the best places to work for?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that. So I have to tell you, I think we are all as business owners and leaders sort of scarred by the great resignation right now, right?
Yeah.
Where it's really hard to get staff. It's hard to keep your best, happiest staff because in their LinkedIn inbox, they're getting job offers and, you know, people are waving a shiny object in front of them, like unlimited paid time off or whatever it is. And as business owners, that really scares us right now. But when I started the business in 2003, that wasn't the case. The first few years of my business led up to the recession of 2007 and 2008. So jobs were very valued then. And I was lucky enough and blessed enough that when I was hiring, I had an abundance of people applying. What I didn't have at that time was the know-how and the experience to know how to vet new employees. So, you know, when you hire a human being and you and I are both in this pool of people, they can have the technical skills, they can interview well, and they can walk through the door and be your best dream and they can answer all your prayers. And we certainly have had many of those. And they can also walk through and have different values than you have. And they can, everybody has emotions. And some people have never had a bad day in their life at work. They come and bring their A game no matter what's happening. And other people walk through and they're a victim every day of everything that's happened in their life. So it took me a long time to learn those lessons and to start to love people out the door quicker if it wasn't a good core value fit, and to sort of, you know, poke a little harder at new hires. Then you sort of get high in an interview if you're really clicking with somebody and you want to hire them right away and not lose them. And I had to slow myself down and slow the bus down and start doing shadow days. Here at Marketing Doctor, we do like a quick screening, a long interview, and then we get into a shadow day where they come into the office and they work in that department all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And usually by the end of the day, you know, you're dating at that point. Both parties are dating. Nobody's married to each other. By the end of an 8-hour day, you kind of get to see the real human and you get a much better idea of who they are. And it gives us a lot more information. And we don't want to hire somebody who's not going to be happy here at a small company and who's not going to be happy, like rolling up their sleeves and maybe helping other departments, because, you know, the capacity in all of our different departments, some department can be on tilt and ready to scream because they're so busy. We may have to grab people from other departments. That's how small businesses work. And some people aren't cut out for that. So it also gives the applicant a lot more information of what it's like here. And that has been a godsend.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's for both sides. Eh? So you don't, people know what it's like to work on your side, and you know a bit how those people are, and you spend more time with them than just like 30 minutes or 60 minutes for the interview. Because hiring the wrong person, it can cost you a lot more than just spending one day with them and perhaps not being to work so efficiently because you have someone together next to you. So yeah, awesome. Okay, yeah. You said about, you know, how to grow and also have the right people, but then you also need to be different with your business because there are lots of marketing, lots of competitors out there. How do you stand out with your business? Whether are you doing something different or tell me about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we only do media. We only follow the dollars. And we stood out from the very beginning because we are just obsessed with ROI. So we tend to work better with advertisers who are looking for proof of performance, conversions, metrics, who want their campaigns integrated into their API so that they can, or their EMR, whatever industry they're in, so that they can follow exact results. We don't tend to work as well with companies or government bodies that just want impressions or aren't tied to metrics and who are more concerned about the top of the funnel, just getting their name out there. We work really well with companies who are conversion minded like we are, like selling their product or getting new patients or having some sort of business result of their campaigns, either immediately or within many months. And sometimes with some of our clients, it can be a year or two. Once a prospect gives us their email from one of our campaigns, till when they're converted can be immediately up to a few years. And, you know, depending on cookies and privacy, we ride a roller coaster like this following our campaigns. We're at the mercy of Mark Zuckerberg and the federal government and everyone who's involved in that, all of those politics of privacy and cookies. But we work well with conversion optimized, conversion oriented clients. Yeah. And we tend, you know, in the Great Resignation, CMOs moved as well.
Right.
And that tended to be good for our business because some of our CMOs that we had a really strong track record with, who we helped them make their careers at their companies, changed companies and took us with them. So that was the upside of the Great Resignation.
Yeah, right. But also if you have a company, as long as you have, you know, things happen, things change at your client side, people that you like to work with, they change companies and so on. This creates also, of course, opportunities. And you talk about rules. Yeah, I'm in Belgium, in Europe. I've always a feeling that there are more rules here than in the US, but you know, that it's a bit less, that it's more regulated here.
Yes.
There is a GDPR and so on. So I know all about that. And when we are now looking at the current landscape of media buying and the future years, are there certain trends that you see happening and that are impacting the way that you do your business?
Yes, that's a wonderful question because, as you know, consumption on different platforms change. And, you know, Facebook was the darling for many years. You know, it was Google was the darling. And then Facebook came out of nowhere and they became the lion's share of ad revenue and they bought Instagram. And now TikTok has snuck up on a lot of CMOs. It's depending on which statistics you read and what generation you're looking at, it can be the number one platform for consuming video. And that doesn't mean that TikTok has the best client-friendly ad platform or that they've monetized the platform quickly. But platforms can sneak up. And now we're looking past, I mean, Snapchat sort of came and went, and Pinterest peaked, and LinkedIn has the B2B crowd. It's really keeping an eye on what's coming next if you think something is coming next, it's probably already here. That's what I would tell you.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about Web3.
Yeah.
You know, in our prep, Web3 is already here. We're already doing product placement in Web3. And a lot of CMOs know it's on the horizon. But if you can do enough continuing ed, and that can be listening to podcasts, audiobooks, interviews while you're cooking, you know, I listen to them while I'm exercising, and you start to get into the right mindset. And if you're ahead of your colleagues on whatever's new, you will enter that realm more cost efficient, better educated. You'll already have heard from, you know, podcasts or interviews about what creative's performing the best and what the best practices are. And it will make a big career changing difference in your life. And we are, none of us like change, right?
I don't know. I like, actually, no, change is perhaps, you can look at it in different ways, of course. Eh? But I like when things change, there are new possibilities, new opportunities. I like that. Most of people don't like change. That's why they don't like to change jobs. They don't like to have new projects. I like it when there are new possibilities on social media. I like it when there are like Web3 opportunity, like the metaverse and everything around it. What I like less, for instance, is when they, again, you know, change the buttons on Instagram or change the menus or change the rules, like, you know, without any added value, you know, that's something I don't like.
Yeah, it's very intimidating. Like, I think we all hesitate when one of our best platforms does an update. And you first want to read about it and you first want to weigh it because nothing's going to be where you thought it was. And it's like that in a lot of things in life.
Yeah. Yeah. For instance, you know, I had a business analytics company in the past. Now looking at Google Analytics, they just, you know, built a whole new Google Analytics and it just changes. So it's not like just a small update. So it has really an impact for people. They should really be aware of that. And that sometimes in that case, change is not really something that they like.
It's true.
Yeah, you're talking about social media. Are you yourself? Do you have time to be active on social media or for your business? Or what is your relationship with social media?
Yeah, well, to me, social media is a godsend because a lot of my best friends in the world, my college roommates, my friends from my first job, and my childhood friends have left this area.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that happens, you think you're going to keep up with each other and it's just, it doesn't happen. But now because of Facebook and Instagram, I can keep in touch with people that I have honestly missed deeply for decades. So I appreciate it from that point of view. And I am quite active on Instagram and Facebook. I'm much more selective now as to who I let into my circles because I have children and I'm a business owner and I, you know, I can be targeted for certain things. So I'm picky, but I am quite active on it, honestly.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, when those Snapchat filters first came out, do you remember that a handful of years ago? How much fun were those? Yeah. Oh, my kids and my husband and I, we went nuts with those and all the relatives, we were all, you know, snapping each other, everything. But now I keep my kids off of certain platforms because of the way the content can disappear and, you know, all of the dangers.
Yeah, there are, you know, there are the good and the bad sides of social media. So if people now, if they want to connect with you, what is the platform that you would prefer?
Anybody can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm at Janet Casey on LinkedIn. I think it's Janet-Casey. And, you know, we're quite active. Marketing Doctor's quite active on all the social channels. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, probably more. My team is amazing. So people can reach me that way quite easily. They can also fill out a form on our website. Those all come straight to my email amongst others here. And we're always happy to talk to anyone out there who wants to talk marketing.
Awesome. Well, of course, I will talk to your colleague and ask her for the social media profile so that I can put them in the show notes, along with also your website. It was so great talking to you, Janet.
And you as well. Thank you so much. And I feel very special that you and I are communicating across the pond. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's awesome. That's, you know, for me, podcasting is the thing that, you know, I did already. I tried a lot of things, but podcasting is really something amazing and doing this stuff live and also this networking. And it's a bit also since the pandemic that, you know, people are more like used to be on Zoom calls, be online, that I feel like it's really going fluently for me also the fact to be, you know, in all these communities with people all around the world. That's really exciting. So
yeah, it's special. It really is special. And you're doing a great job.
So thank you again, Janet. I hope that you.
Thank you.
And for everyone listening, if you got some value out of this nice conversation with Janet, feel free. And I would even ask you to do that. Yeah. Forward the episode or share the episode with your friends, with your colleagues, with other people that you think that can benefit for this episode. If you're not yet subscribed to CMO Stories, please do that, because we have amazing guests that will be showing up on our podcast. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you back for the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.